Brian, and I'm here with Rebecca, and I'm not going to do a lively introduction this week. We're just going to jump into this discussion that we're having about life, and we talk about being honest about life. We talk about being honest about the things that we're going through, and sometimes that's fun and funny, like talking about alcohol, and sometimes it's serious, and sometimes it's honestly just heavy. So this is a little bit of a heavy conversation. Right now, we really are in a place where we're both feeling very pressed. Would you say that's right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we have a lot of things going on in our lives, and we have a lot of pressures, both in the church and in our personal lives and with our children. And so we want to be honest about it. We don't want to sugarcoat things, and we don't want to pretend like everything's okay when it's not. And we want to model that, because I think it's what Christians need to do. We're not looking to throw a pity party. We're not looking for sympathy. We're not looking for, honestly, we have good friends that we go to for counsel, so we're not necessarily looking for counsel either. We're just wanting to share what's going on in our lives, and wanting to share some of the pressure that we feel. For me as a pastor, and Rebecca as a pastor's wife. Does that sound good to you, Rebecca?
That's fine.
So let's just talk a little bit about maybe some of the things that are going on. I just finished the second day of 4 days of a prison ministry that our church is involved in, where we go into Deep Meadow Correctional Facility and minister to the inmates there. And it's a long day. I leave at like 7:15, get back. I got back, 8 o'clock tonight? Something like that. And the rest of the team was still going on to have dinner at our church and come back. And I was without my cell phone or anything like that today and yesterday. And that's just kind of right now in the moment. And then while I'm away, Rebecca has lots of stuff going on with Ian. And do you want to share about that?
Well, Ian is just one of the moving pieces, but he is particularly needy right now. He's teething. And so he woke up last night with a fever. He was so hot and was pretty miserable today. And very high maintenance. And I wanted to take my six-year-old and pick her up from the bus stop and take her on a little date. Normally, Brian gets to have the dates with the children since I do so much with them during the day. So mommy's all business and daddy's all fun, but I wanted to do something fun with her. She's really struggling with a lot of things, and so I wanted to do something out of the ordinary. And the trip into town to go to Sweet Frog and Chick-fil-A was just absolutely miserable. Ian wanted mommy. He wanted nothing else. And so he screamed the whole way. And we got behind this bus on the way into town. So we were stopping all along 7-Eleven. This one road, it's a beautiful road, but it's a really long stretch to be behind a bus. Jane was great. But her hands were over her ears the whole time. She was trying to get away from Ian screaming. And anyway, it wasn't such a great idea after all. So yeah. We came back and tried to entertain him and put him to bed and finished watching Charlotte's Web.
So. Yeah. When I got back in the car, I had a number of texts, and one of which was a word I've only seen you type maybe once or twice ever in my life.
Yeah, that word was, I really meant it when I typed it.
Not to make light of the sentiment, but, you know, I think it just kind of spoke to a lot of what's going on. So that was just today, but that's really like a microcosm of all that's gone on here in the recent weeks. And I was sharing with Rebecca last week that I really felt like my schedule and my life was just spiraling out of control. I feel like there's, as a pastor, there are so many different things that I am, you know, quote unquote, supposed to do. And there's so many things that I try to do. And there's a lot of pressure put on me, and people want me to be involved in certain things. And one of those things is this Kairos program. And our church is heavily involved in it. And it takes not just the 4 days that we're in there, but it takes 3 Saturdays leading up to it, where it's almost an entire Saturday. We start at 8 and go to 2 or 3 sometimes. And leading up to this, we had signed up for soccer. We didn't know when the first soccer game was going to be. And I think I mentioned before, I'm coaching 2 soccer teams this year. So I signed up for those, obviously. So part of the reason that I signed up was so that the schedules wouldn't conflict, so we could be try to make sure that one of us at least was at all the games this spring. And we really feel like being involved in soccer is one of the ways that we reach out to the community. And we really feel, I mean, I would say we feel like that's part of our ministry, not as a pastor and his family, but as a Christian family.
Absolutely. Well, I was telling my mom that it's really interesting watching Jane's team, the U6 team. You almost get everybody, because soccer is kind of one of those sports where almost anybody who has an interest can at least start.
Right.
But the families that you have known for 8+ years become smaller and smaller because right. other people get weeded out. They find, you know, another sport they're interested in, or they just lose interest entirely in soccer. But we have played every single year. Only up until recently did we not play both fall and spring, because Micah is playing football in the fall. But that is one area that we have remained connected to. And there are a number of families that we have relationships with. And there's new families coming in who are not as established in the community or in the sport as we are. And so it's a real privilege in many ways to find some of those new families and reach out to them, the ones that are on our team. I think it's a wonderful opportunity.
Yeah, and it's something that our whole family can do. And so we're spending time together as a family, and we're spending time with our kids. We're investing in our kids. We're investing in our community. And we're doing it as a family, as I said. And so that's something that's very important to us. And so that's something that we wanted to do. And I found out last week that the first day of soccer games are also this weekend Kairos event that I'm supposed to help out with. And it's an interesting dynamic with Kairos, because it's mostly, I would say with a few exceptions, it's mostly retired men. And there are a few who aren't retired, but they either don't have children or have children that are a little bit grown. And so I'm certainly the only one there with an infant. I'm certainly the only one there with 5 kids that are still in school and are still kind of in the midst of growing up. And it's one of these strange dynamics where I was even thinking about it today, because they're mostly volunteers and they're mostly people who don't have any experience in church or in music or things like that. There's things that, I don't know, I don't want to sound arrogant, but I'll just say it, you know, to hell, whatever I sound like. There's things that I have developed skills at that clearly make me able to do things better than some people who've never done them can. You know, so when it comes to giving talks or giving, you know, playing music, leading worship, things like that, I've been doing it for so long. It's not like it's not a spiritual thing necessarily, but there's natural abilities that I have that I've developed and that I've, you know, crafted over years that help me to, not to be more effective, but to be more polished, I guess. So I can walk up cold to, and I did this 3 or 4 times today. I walked up cold to a reading and was able to present it as though I was just in conversation, I think, you know, to where I was able to just share what was written as though it was from me. And most of the guys, because they're not into, you know, they don't preach from manuscripts or preach sermons every Sunday, they sound like they're reading it. And so there's a part of me that I can do those things well. And so I don't get accolades, but it certainly seems like people are really encouraging and they're really wanting me to be a part of it. And honestly, there's times when I just don't have the heart for it. And so I'm missing my family. I'm missing time with my kids. I am in prison. I can't do the things that I'm meant to do. I'm cutting time from my sermon preparation this week. I'm cutting time from spending family. I'm going to miss Jane's first soccer game because I'm not coaching her. I'm going to miss Chloe's violin recital tomorrow.
And which so, she has once a year.
Once a year. So there's just a lot going on. And on top of just regular things that go on, you know, the fact that I'm not just a pastor, but I work construction. And I work construction 2 days a week. And those 2 days are very hard. I mean, they're at least 10-hour days, 2 days a week. And so I didn't get home Wednesday night after work. We worked till dark. And then I went to Andrew's house, who's my boss, and we talked about a new arrangement that we're working through for how we run our jobs. And so he and I spent some time together for a couple hours talking that through. And then I came home and then went to bed and was up the next morning for Kairos. And so, you know, thinking through a lot of that stuff, it's just, when I was looking at this weekend coming up, I felt this sense of overwhelming. Like, I can't do it all. I just can't do it all. And there's a part of me that I feel like is, I overcommit. And then I feel badly because it feels like people are depending on me. Because when I go to Kairos, people are always saying, oh, you're so, you know, you've done a great job. Or, you know, they really like the music or things like that. And so I feel this pressure, like they're counting on me. And yet at the same time, I have to say, you know, I had to end up saying, all right, I'm going to be gone Saturday morning and Sunday morning. And I felt like I was letting people down. But ultimately, I felt like I was letting everyone down this weekend. So,
well, it's really hard to feel like you're winning at all with the kind of pace that we're keeping. And I know that God is busy at work. Like, I know all of sort of the pat answers, if you will. And in some ways, those are the rocks that we have to stand on. Those are the truths that we have to cling to. But life feels absolutely insane and out of control. And there might be things that we can do, you know, to change some of this. And the little things that we can do, we certainly need the Lord's wisdom and the grace to see what those things might be. But in general, there's things we simply can't change.
Yeah.
And so I think we're holding on for dear life and trusting that God is going to bring some relief in time and in His way. I'm not really sure how that's going to happen. I think some of it is just simply having an infant. Then when you throw an infant into the mix, that changes everything. But we also have a ginormous spread. You know, I've heard some, you know, homeschooling moms complain before, and Lord love them. If you've got to teach a really ornery child or a lot of different children with very different needs, I think that's very, very challenging. However, you're staying in one place unless you choose to take a field trip, or if you've got a break for the day and pack them all up in the car and take them to the store to get grocery shopping done. But in general, if you've got the arrangement that we've got, and we felt led to do this, so we made this decision, but we felt led to make this decision, and we have got kids getting up at 5:45 in the morning to get ready for school and to get out the door by around 6:30, 6:35. And then we've got Jane, the next one, who's getting up and getting ready. And Ian's up there at some point, and I'm taking care of him. And we have a dog, and we have chickens, and we're all trying to get ready basically by 8:30. The amount of work that it takes to get, you know, everybody ready, papers signed, lunches made, even just laundry done and started is enormous. And then it literally goes all day long. And I was talking to my mom about it, and she and I catch up about every other week. She kind of sat quietly, and I could tell that she was remembering the season that I'm now in. And she said, you know, this is one of those seasons where you just hang on, and everything is really hard and really fast. Mm-hmm. And so I know she remembers, but I think the challenge for us is you are being pulled in a million different directions as well. So yeah. I'm not only taking care of the children, but I'm also trying to support you in what you're doing, right, and you're busy supporting and ministering to other people. So sometimes I feel like a single mom.
Yeah.
And I know that that's not true, because I'm not out there earning the money, but in terms of emotionally taking care of the needs of the family and then logistically taking care of the needs of the family, it's massive. So we're just confessing life is not very pretty right now. Life is not very fun right now. We're not exactly sure how everything's going to get taken care of. You know, this is sort of just an extension of a discussion Brian and I were already having.
Yeah. Yeah. And on top of that, you know, our house in Fredericksburg is on the market, and it's empty. We've got, I think April we'll get a check for rent, but after April, there's, you know, we're going to have to start covering the mortgage.
Yeah, that's another thing. We confessed to our community group that, you know, we needed prayer on that, because when we moved down here 8 years ago, we didn't, that was not our original plan. Our original right. plan was to sell the home and move down here. But the housing market crashed and nothing was moving, and we had no choice but to hang on to it. And so we have been landlords 8 years too long.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just have, as I have prayed over this, it has been the thorn in our side. And I just remember every time, you know, we get to this place where we're just beyond ourselves, frustrated. You know, that was the same thing that Paul was sort of telling the Lord. And the Lord's answer was, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. But sometimes I want to argue with that a little bit and just say, yeah, but I'm done.
Yeah, it feels like, all right, where's your power? Because we feel pretty freaking weak right now.
Pretty tired.
Yeah. And so, I'm, you know, I'm sure tomorrow morning we might feel better in some respects. Lord willing, Ian will sleep through the night. And, you know, there'll be some mercies new every morning. And I think that's the hard thing right now is, you know, in times like this, I feel like any answer I give, or any like thought that I have about, well, you know, trust in the Lord, or, you know, all these things seem so, you know, like platitudes. And there's this, I don't know. I know it's true, and we know it's true. But sometimes, like, the reason you have to trust in the Lord is because it hurts so freaking much. Because you're so tired, and because there's a weariness. You know, I hate to make this comparison, but I think it fits. I actually had a counseling kind of session with one of the inmates who wanted to talk today, which they have, if they want to talk to a pastor, they can schedule some time. And so a guy scheduled some time to talk with me, and he just came in and unloaded. I mean, just, and this guy struggles with same-sex attraction, and and wanting to be free of it and wanting to be rid of it. And as he's talking about all this stuff, I'm just thinking through, what can I tell this guy that's not going to sound like a platitude? You know, he really wanted things to be, he's been praying and asking God to just heal him. And there was a part of me that was like, dude, this is not going to stop. Like, you're...
I have no easy fix for you. This, I can't guarantee you that...
Yeah.
If I pray over you because I'm the pastor, that these feelings are going to go away.
Yeah. And I told him, I was like, look, dude, I've been married for 14 years and I still have lustful thoughts. You know, it's not like you're going to be free of this in this lifetime. And so I think that's the hard thing about times like this, is finding your joy in the Lord and still, you know, it's like Piper talks about in one of his talks, you know, through the deepest possible pain, still saying God is enough. You know, I think when it comes to this, it's not like God's not enough for us. It's that right now, yeah, it's the deepest, not the deepest possible pain, but through some significant, like, just crap, you know, feeling like junk, that saying God is enough to me feels like a platitude right now. I know it's true, but I think right now we just wanted to be honest about the deepest possible pain part. So, yeah. Any other thoughts on...
Well, this morning I took the boys to school. They assumed Brian was going to take them to school because normally he does on Fridays, which is kind of a sweet time for them. I don't know if they think of it as sweet other than getting to sleep more before having to leave for school. But I think it's a good memory, and I think it's a good time for them to share in the car.
Yeah.
And I think they wanted to be goofy in the car as I was taking them, and I told them about my displeasure that I had to take them and leave the girls with Ian, but I didn't have a choice. And so as we got in the car, I said, well, rather than be goofy, I want us to read a devotional. And they know that that's my thing. If I've got them in the car, I've got a captive audience, and they're going to do what I say. So we read the devotional, and the passage was from Hebrews, where he says we've run this race with perseverance, the race marked out for us. And I was able to talk with them of how important that verse was to me. And then there was a really interesting story of a lady in the 50s who was going to be the first lady to swim 26 miles from, I guess, some shore in California to some other, I don't have the name down. And she had a great start, she kept going, and then this fog settled in where she couldn't see the coast of where she was supposed to go. And I guess she got discouraged, and so she gave up. And what was so sad is what she didn't realize is that the coast, her destination, was 1 mile away.
Wow.
And I guess it really bothered her, so she tried again, and the same thing happened. And the fog settled in. And this time she knew, just keep going. Hmm. And so what she did was she visualized the coast, even though she couldn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
And she made it.
Wow.
And I thought, you know, there's so many things in life. I have so many unanswered questions right now. I don't know what my children are going to be like spiritually over the next few years. I don't know what kind of temptations they're going to face. I don't know whether or not this home is going to sell, or what we're going to have to go through financially to do that and to get us there. I don't know all of what Ian's going to face as he, you know, is growing and changing so quickly. I don't know whether or not we're going to homeschool Jane or keep her in public school. Like, I don't know how I'm going to get through tomorrow. and all of the logistics while Brian is gone. But that's the fog that's settling in over me. And I got really emotional, actually, as I was talking to the boys about this. And they kind of noticed it and they got real, really quiet. But I wanted them to know that this is real stuff for real life. This is not just Sunday school answers, even though sometimes it can feel like it. This is truth that has to be clung to. And yet, while we're clinging to truth, the threshing and fleshing it out is messy.
Yeah.
And I don't know that there's always an answer for everything. It's just a holding on.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. I think that's... That's a good illustration, I think, even that devotional of the fog. I think right now it just feels pretty foggy. And I think, you know, it's interesting, we've both been reading, and we'll probably talk about on a future podcast, this book by Jen Hatmaker, which is called For the Love, and there's a part of it that we need to do when we're a little more lighthearted, because it's a hilarious book. But I think there's some things that she says, and, you know, I realize that as a guy, I'm listening to this mostly because there's a number of ladies, you know, at our church, and Rebecca's reading it, and I just kind of wanted to get an idea of what this book was about and listen to it, and it was
you that if you wanted insights into my soul,
yes,
you needed to read the book.
Yeah, and it was hilarious. So many parts of it were so funny, but one of the things that I keep thinking about, and something that she mentioned, is she talked about the balance beam of life and how people seem to always ask her about balance. How do you balance it all? And she's like, honestly, I'm not. Nobody does. And the way that you kind of balance things is you only keep the things on the beam that you really want to do. That you not necessarily just want to do, like it's some kind of selfish thing, but the things that you need to do and the things that you really
you have to do, or that you can do, what's feasible in the season of life that you're in to actually balance. Yeah. And there's certain things that are very good, but should not be on the balance beam.
Right. So she talked about, you know, turning down speaking engagements and things like that. And, you know, I've been thinking about that a lot, and just like what can we shed from our balance beam to make things a little bit more realistic. And,
well, you know, because we were even talking even before the podcast started, we in some ways are a terrible example of what it means to get rest, because I really do think that rest was made for man. Mm-hmm. The scripture says that. And the Sabbath was made for man. And God knew that we would need it. And at this point in our lives, though, with Brian doing construction and him being so busy on Sunday and church activities on Saturday, and then our lives, the kids' sports needs, there is literally no rest for our family, which is not a good thing.
No.
I mean, I think we would like to say that there's pockets of rest, but to be honest, the pocket of rest is when our head hits the pillow and we sleep for a few hours and then we're up at it again. And, you know, that's not a good thing, but we're trying to figure out how to get that in there. And it's going to take some wisdom and some time and some prayer, and it might be saying no to people who really want us to say yes.
and my heart, my problem is that I'm a yes person,
and I'm a no person.
Yeah. And I feel when I say yes too much, it freaks you out. And when I say yes too much in my own mind, And this is what the difference was last week, is normally I feel completely overwhelmed and I don't say anything. I just feel it. And then you say something and I get defensive and I feel like you're attacking me and I get upset about it. And then this time what was different was I was feeling that and you said something and I just broke. And not in a bad, like, I just said, I just feel completely overwhelmed. I feel totally like everything else is running me and I just felt like I was totally running in circles and like crazy because of all the stuff that was going on. And so that was, to me, I felt like that was a win because I didn't get frustrated at you and I didn't feel like you were attacking me. I'd use it as a moment to just say, yeah, I feel like it.
Well, I didn't even say, I'm trying to remember all that happened on that date, but you were just shutting down. And yeah. I was more or less just trying to reach out to you as a spouse. Hello, yeah. Are you there? But I think you had already put two and two together.
Yeah.
It was just sort of verbally acknowledging it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So one of the nice things about not being good at anything is being able to say no without having to say in a demure way. I can honestly just say I can't do that. So it's really easy to say no.
No, you're really good at a lot of things.
No, really, I'm not. I can run a home, but in terms of serving other people, there's not a lot I can do.
You can
run
a marathon. You can cook a good meal.
Well, thank you.
You can teach well. Oh. I think you're a great teacher.
Oh, thank you. But
and the CBS ladies won't think so, and they want you to be part of that.
I know, and so. I've already said no. Yeah. Can't. No.
So, I mean, all this to say, we do still trust in Jesus. I feel pressure to say that, but then I don't want to just say that because I feel like that's a caveat. You know what I mean? Like, you know, part of me is saying that just so that people don't freak out and they're like, start giving us advice.
Well, like, so like, here's a story that, I don't know, maybe everybody can relate to. And I just thought it was very telling to me. There's this one lady in my CBS class, and I won't say her name. She's also in my body pump class. And her daughter is also on Brian's soccer team. So we have a number of connections going here.
Right.
She and I are loading up our weights for body pump, and she doesn't know I'm next to her. And all of a sudden, I guess she has to leave. I don't know what happened, but she had to leave. So she's putting away her weights, and I can tell she is just frustrating. And she says under her breath, she goes, oh, this just sucks. And then she turns and looks at me and she sees that it's me and she like collapsed on the floor and she goes, I did not know it was you right there. and it's because I'm a fellow believer.
Right.
And I'm listening to her just be honest. And I said, I looked at her, and I said, what sucks? And she goes, I just got to go. She goes, I'll see y'all later. So she had to leave. And I actually had caught her earlier going up to the incorrect minivan. Like, I was pulling into the Y. This is before we were ever in the studio. And she's trying to get into this minivan. And I get out of my car, my van, and I get Ian out. And she looks at me and she goes, well, that's why it won't open. It's not my van. And so she, like, goes to the other van. I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, this poor lady. So anyway, when she leaves, I'm in body pump and I'm paying attention and I'm just keeping up. And all of a sudden I get this big like beep or my phone lights up and she has sent me a Facebook message. Mm-hmm. She's like, I'm so sorry. I was like that. I hate it when I'm like that. And so I sent her a message later and I said, no, that was the real you. And I said, I don't want the fake you. I want the real you. I said, you were frustrated and I totally understand. I would not want to show up only to have to leave. It's so hard just to get to the gym and work out. And I said, you know, moms feel a lot of pressure. She's got five kids like I do, and she's got quite a spread. She's got one in college, and she's got one all the way down to 4 years old.
Wow.
So she's got a huge spread. And she just thanked me for being so understanding. And I just thought, but really I'm not, because that could be me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was just thinking that is so the way Christians in many ways want to be seen. They want to be seen for who they are. They want to be loved. They want to be accepted. And I know that God is in the business of transforming us. He doesn't want us to stay that way. He's going to sanctify us. But I don't think any Christian wants a game.
Yeah.
And so I think she realized she got caught being real.
Yeah.
And but I would rather have the real her.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Not some phony. So anyway, that's I think where you and I are, is we don't necessarily have great answers.
Yeah.
But this is us being real.
Yeah, this is us putting our weights back and saying, this sucks.
And actually, this is not everything that was said earlier. This is a milder version of what was said earlier.
Yeah, we don't want to have to put an explicit rating on this show.
Well, yeah. Or all the tears.
Yeah. So that's where we are right now. You know, I think there's... You know, there's the purpose for sharing this, I hope, is, if anything, so that you can say, you know what, I feel that too. I feel that too. And it's okay to talk about it. It's okay to be honest that we're not holding it together all the time. You know, we're not keeping things, we're not keeping all the plates spinning. We're not keeping everything in the air. And
most of the time our plates come crashing down. And then we pick up the pieces and we try it all over again.
Yeah.
Only for them to come crashing down again.
Yeah. And, you know, I look around and most of what I see is the disappointed faces of the people that I've, you know, that I've let down in the process. And, you know, that's hard and that's a challenge. And so we're just kind of in this place of trying to figure out what the next step is, what we can get off our balance beam, and how to say no. Like tonight, somebody was talking to me and saying, hey, are you going back to the church for this thing? We got to make copies of this. And I said, I'm going home. And he said, what about the... And I said, I'm going home. I've got to go home. That was even before I got your text. So that must be the Holy Spirit telling me, Brian, you need to go home.
Your wife might crucify you if you're not home. Or your wife might crucify everyone else at the church.
So I think that's where we are. And so if you're listening to this and you're like, wow, this is really bumming me out, we're sorry, but this is our life. And
this is our liminal state right
this
now.
This is our liminal state, our liminal effing state that we are in. So that's where we are. And, you know, if you pray for us, we'd really appreciate it. I wouldn't encourage you to send us advice necessarily, because
because I won't read it. I will not give a blank 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 about it, but
pray for us. I think that's the thing we want to say is, you know, we can put this out there, and we're willing to put this out there for anyone who wants to listen. And so my hope is that it inspires you to be honest with your situation, and maybe you'll grow, and maybe you'll just rejoice that your life doesn't suck. And ours lives don't suck. And also, there's plenty of things that we're grateful for.
No, and okay, so every day, you know what was awful? I was sort of in the crucible this morning. I'm taking Jane. So, okay, after I take the boys, I come back, get a million loads of laundry started, and get Chloe started on chores and homeschooling. I nurse Ian, and then I get Jane ready for school, get her in the car, and as we're going to school, because I take her every morning, Her verse this morning is from Psalms 118, verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because mm-hmm. his mercy endureth forever.
Yeah.
So I'm drilling Jane, and I'm almost like in tears as I'm reading this, because I'm thinking, you really have to believe this and have eyes of faith.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, that he is good and that his mercy does endure forever, and then actually acknowledge the things that are good.
Yeah.
So on the way home, I just spent some time acknowledging all the blessings that we do have. That's very easy to lose sight of when you feel like you're absolutely drowning.
Right.
And so anyway.
And we know that there's lots of people that have it way worse than us. We know that there's a lot.
Absolutely.
Going on. I feel like most of our friends wouldn't be in the camp where they're like, you know, worried about us or whatever. You know, I think this is just one of those moments in life where just things suck, and we're in the valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Yeah, well, people focus on the fearing no evil, but you're still in the valley, and sometimes the valley sucks, and sometimes you just feel the weight of everyone's expectations. And
or just life. It's not yeah. even just expectations from people. It's just the fact that life is challenging. Raising a family is hard.
Yeah.
Providing for a family is hard. Owning two homes is hard. Being a pastor is hard. Like, and there's even, like, I was thinking about it. There's several crises going on in my family that people don't know anything about.
Yeah.
And I have not even told some of my closest friends
yeah.
on purpose. But these are things, and a lot of people have these things. Mm-hmm. They go to work, they take care of their families, and they have hidden pains that no one knows anything about.
Yeah.
And I know that because I'm experiencing it.
Yeah.
And so those are loads that very few people share.
Yeah.
So,
anyway. So we're encouraging you to share your crap with somebody. We're doing that to you. Because for some reason you've listened this far. You haven't. If you've made it to this part of the podcast, you get a special prize, because all we've done is unload our crap and you've just had to listen. And that's all we've wanted you to do is just listen. And so we thank you for listening,
oh my gosh.
For not offering advice while we're talking, for just listening to us. And
yeah, because that's really why we do these podcasts, right?
It's therapy.
We just need to put on these headphones and come up to the microphone and therapy begins, right?
Therapy begins, and it goes out to all of the internets.
Oh my word.
It's right. Everywhere. Oh man. Well,
but hey, Easter is coming. Actually, I was running today
mm-hmm.
and I was listening to John Mark McMillan, and he's like one of my favorites.
Yeah.
And he has some amazing songs about death being dead.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking,
I love the song that says dead. Hope grows between the cracks in the asphalts and the downtown ghettos.
I just love Carbon Ribs.
Mm-hmm.
That's my favorite one.
Yeah.
I listened to that about 3 times today. So
this is a great song.
So yeah, Easter's coming.
Yeah, Easter is coming. Right now it feels like Good Friday. It feels like everything's dead. Let's go listen to some emo and cry. No, now I have to drink your beer.
Give it to me.
I opened these two $4 beers. And
I couldn't drink it earlier. I just could not. But now seeing you take my beer. Give it back.
Added to the struggles.
No. Added to my pain.
Oh man. I love you. You don't have to say it back.
I love you too.
I'll just edit the part out where I said you don't have to say the back. I'll just make it sound like you said it right away.
I love you.
Just kidding. Oh, life is hard and Jesus is good. And so that's this liminal state. That's this liminal life. That's where we are. And yeah, we hope that you at least got something out of this talk that we had, and really, I mean, honestly, have these conversations with people that you love, people that care for you, and be praying for us.
Yeah, and if you've never had these conversations, you're probably faking it.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Well, hope you've enjoyed this podcast. I'm not going to say anything about social media. I'm not going to say anything about anything else. But we are This Liminal Life. We're standing in the threshold.
And spit in the wind.
And pissing in the wind, maybe.
Oh, my gosh. We're done.